You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, folks, to the Trade Deadline Recap edition of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. This special edition Locked On Rockets is brought to you courtesy of our partners at SeatGeek. Download their SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LORockets, and you can get a $20 rebate today on your first purchase from SeatGeek. So fellas, it's after 2 p.m. The trade deadline has come and gone. The Rockets did not make any other major moves. They did trade KJ McDaniels to the Brooklyn Nets, Tyler Ennis to the LA Lakers. The goal of both of those deals, especially the McDaniels one, was to create salary cap room. They got $3.3 million from dealing McDaniels, got an extra $200,000 from the move of Tyler Ennis to the Lakers. So that's $3.5 million that they did not have entering today. One of the big questions on everybody's mind going into today is, of course, the buyout market, because when the trade deadline ends, buyouts begin, and a lot of folks ask me, how much money do the Rockets have? Well, up until these deals, they had just the minimum, but now the Rockets have cap room, which other contenders like Cleveland, San Antonio, the other teams chasing Golden State, do not really have. So it does materially put them in a better position. I think the Rockets were certainly hoping for something bigger. I think there's a reason why they leaked to Woj yesterday that they're looking for one more acquisition in the $10 to $12 million range. However, I think we all got the sense early Thursday, once it leaked through Mark Stein of ESPN, that the Rockets and Lakers had finalized the Lou Williams deal and sent it to the league for approval. That was the holdup. That was, if the Rockets were going to make a bigger acquisition, it was going to be folded into the Lou Williams to the Lakers deal, as I discussed with Dave Hardesty last night. That's why the deal wasn't finalized until today. Ultimately, the Rockets realized this morning that it probably was not going to work out. And so I think that's when they switched from maybe looking at some of those $10 to $12 million players to better position themselves for the buyout market in the days ahead. So with the deadline officially gone, let's take a step back and look, what do the Rockets need? They certainly don't need a guard at this point with Pat Beverly, James Harden, Eric Gordon, Lou Williams. I think they're definitely set there with four very good NBA rotation players and, of course, the MVP of the league in Harden. If you want depth, it's at the 3-4 spots and then possibly at center. You can question the rim protection inside because Clint Capela and Nene, Montrezl Harrell, all are sort of offense-first players, I would say. And then as far as your wings, you have Trevor Ariza and Sam Decker, although Decker, with his inability to shoot consistently from three, might be a little bit more of a four. The thing is that after trading Corey Brewer for Lou Williams, Trevor Ariza is really your only true wing defender. So I think in an ideal world, the Rockets would bring in someone that can replace a little bit of what Brewer brought to the table in terms of veteran instincts, defensive ability. Now, of course, the big question on everyone's mind is who? Who are the buyout candidates? And two words for all of you guys: be patient. I know everyone wants names. The thing is, names rarely leak in advance because teams would rather trade their players than buy them out. That's common sense. If a team leaks that somebody's a buyout candidate, then why would any other team trade a lot of value for them? So this happens every year. I know right now the only concrete buyout name, big name, I would say, is Andrew Bogut. The Mavs traded him to Philadelphia in the Nerlens Noel deal, and it's pretty obvious that Bogut does not fit in Philly long-term. So a lot of folks are fixing on him. And yes, I do think the Rockets have interest, and so apparently do San Antonio and Cleveland. So maybe the Rockets having that $3.5 million in cash entering the buyout market will help them get a little bit of a leg up. But it's more than that. I think the Rockets are targeting more than that. You can see, quite frankly, they've created two roster spots with the KJ McDaniels and Tyler Ennis moves, and they could actually easily have three if they need it, because I think everyone knows that Bobby Brown is not a long-term fixture in Houston, so if the Rockets need a third spot, they can easily do that. They could bring in as much as three new players over the next week. March 1st, next Wednesday, of course, is the deadline for these buyout guys to be positioned on playoff rosters, so it's all going to happen very quickly. And to that end, I'll point to last year. Some of the big names on the market that switched via buyout: David Lee, Kevin Martin, J.J. Hickson, Joe Johnson, Ty Lawson, Marcus Thornton. There's a lot of quality veterans. Anderson Varejao is another one. a lot of meaningful guys switched after the deadline last year via the buyout market, and not all of them were discussed as buyout candidates before the deadline because teams do not want to give a tell that that player is soon going to be potentially available for free. So I know there are no concrete names. Give it a few hours. Give it a day or so. By this weekend, I think there's going to be a lot of veterans, and the Rockets are going to be at the front of the line because 40-18, third in the West, there are not many teams in a better position for the Rockets to say, you can come win with us, and there are clear needs where these guys can play. To Andrew Bogut, the Rockets do want a defensive first big, so there's a role for him, and there's a role for someone to maybe take that Corey Brewer spot of a defensive-oriented wing at the 2-3-4 spots. So there are places, I don't know how much of a consistent role they would have, but there are clear avenues for a veteran to fit on this roster. And so the Rockets, as a team that has roster spots, has cap room now, and has a coach, a star in James Harden, that players undoubtedly like to play for in a style with Mike D'Antoni that is very conducive to scoring points and winning a lot of games, the Rockets are in a very good position, both in terms of the roster spots and financially, to be a big player on these buyout candidates. You're just going to have to give it a few days because, well, up until 2 o'clock today, the goal for everyone has been to try and trade those guys. As far as who the candidates might be, anyone that's a veteran, on a rental is a candidate to be bought out because, really, if you're a team that's not going to contend and that player is a veteran and is going to be a free agent this summer and likely leave, it serves you essentially two goals if you buy them out. Number one, you're doing the player a favor. You're letting that player go to a contender, and so you're building goodwill with that player and, more importantly, his agent. It's the same deal we talked about with Magic Johnson, Lou Williams, and how he got to Houston for not much in return. I think Magic gave Lou a little bit of leeway in exchange for, well, Lou, his representation, and other agents around the league seeing the Lakers as a friendly organization to deal with. So it serves that motive for a team buying out. The other thing is that if you're not going to contend, well, why not tank? Because really, a veteran on a non-contender doesn't make a lot of sense. You'd rather potentially tank for a higher draft pick, and beyond that, you'd probably rather play younger guys and try to work with their development and see what you have. So I think there are a lot of possibilities. Andrew Bogut is one, but it is not all or nothing with Andrew Bogut. There's a reason the Rockets already have two roster spots and could have three with the Bobby Brown one if they need. There are other guys besides Andrew Bogut. Matt Barnes is an obvious candidate. We've heard rumors of Deron Williams being bought out in Dallas. Now, I don't see the Rockets being in on the Deron Williams market because they're set in the backcourt, but those are just examples of the types of players that could be set free in the coming days. So I know there are not that many concrete names now. I know Andrew Bogut is kind of at the top of the line because he would be that defense-first big that a lot of us have been talking about for a while, add some rim protection. I do think the Rockets are going to be in on him, but it's not just him. Just be patient, see what happens. But I think this year especially, there could be a lot of potential quality buyout candidates to shake free because with the bar as high as it is now with the Golden State Warriors, there are more teams than ever that feel like they have no chance. And for teams in those positions, they can basically meet multiple goals by buying out their veterans. So stay tuned. We're going to hear a lot more in the days ahead, and it's going to happen very quickly because the deadline is March 1st for those players to be ready to go for the playoff rosters. By the way, one more name just broke as I'm recording this podcast. It says the Pelicans are expected to waive Terrence Jones, and Terrence has played very well this year. Now, I don't see Terrence being a candidate here in Houston for the obvious reason, but that's another example of the type of player, even a quality contributor. You're going to see those guys shake free because if you're not catching the Warriors anyway, and you can do a solid for the player, his agent, maybe provide more playing time for a younger player on your roster, it makes sense to look at buyouts. Just give it time. You're going to see more and more guys, including a lot that you wouldn't necessarily expect, shake free in the days ahead. So just stay tuned and be patient. That's all I will tell you. Now I'll get to the rest of the trade deadline in just a moment. For now, I do want to pause and acknowledge our partners at SeatGeek, the people responsible for bringing you today's show. Because, folks, if you want to see Lou Williams or any of the new Rockets, we'll see who the rest are in the days ahead. But, well, SeatGeek is about the easiest place to buy tickets. We got tons of home games coming up. Timberwolves on Saturday night, the Pacers on Monday. That's a national TV game. And, well, if you want to buy tickets, use that SeatGeek app. A lot of the older ticket sites, I know they're confusing. It's tough to navigate. SeatGeek, they're different. They've come along. They've created an amazing app. And the website is just so easy for fans like us to buy and sell tickets. SeatGeek, for me personally, is the first place that I go to look for games. You know that you're getting the best deal on the market because they grade every ticket from 1 to 100. That helps you get the best bang for your buck. They also do the searching of multiple ticket sites for you so you can bid with confidence that, yes, you are, in fact, getting the best deal. Now, the best part of this, though, all of my listeners here at Locked On Rockets, you guys get a $20 rebate off of your first SeatGeek purchase. To get that, here's what you do. Download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code, then enter the promo code LORockets. From there, SeatGeek will send you $20 in the mail after you've made your first ticket purchase. So remember, guys, download that SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LORockets today. Now, jumping back into the show, the trade deadline's come and gone, and we know the big acquisition for the Rockets is Lou Williams. The other moves they made today were generally about positioning themselves for the buyout market. So the Rockets, for now, the team they'll take on New Orleans with tonight in New Orleans, we hope that Lou Williams is a part of it, but we'll have to wait and see. That deal is still not official, although the trade call is scheduled with the NBA this afternoon. As far as Lou's availability, it will depend on that getting approved in time, and if Corey Brewer has gone through his physical with the Lakers, it's probably doubtful that all that stuff happens that quickly. I think the Rockets delayed the deal for 24 hours, the finalization of it, to try and see if they could roll it into something bigger. But regardless, even if he's not here tonight, that's just one game out of 24 plus the playoffs. So big picture, yes, he's a part of this team, and he is the marquee acquisition. And I've talked about that a lot the last two nights with Shlomo Strong and David Hardesty. If you want to see those episodes, tune into our archives. For now, though, I want to put some context and look at the rest of the market and how that fits in. The big thing for me, the Rockets clearly got better this week. They essentially swapped out their weakest link in Corey Brewer for a guy in Lou Williams who is a tremendous shooter, upgrades Brewer's weakest element, and really just a great scorer overall, 19 points a game in 24 minutes. So it's a big upgrade for the Rockets at their weakest spot in the rotation. Could get even better in the weeks ahead with all that, or days ahead, I should say, with that buyout room. But then you look at the other teams in the Western Conference playoff picture. Now, I know we all knew the Warriors weren't going to do anything, but the Spurs, the Clippers, the Jazz, none of them did anything of significance. And it's not because they weren't trying. The Clippers were in the market for Wilson Chandler. The Jazz apparently also were in the Lou Williams market, offering about the same deal that the Rockets did in terms of a late first and salary filler. There's also some talk about the Jazz potentially looking for something a little more bigger with the likes of Derek Favors. Nothing happened. The only team in the Western Conference playoff picture, well, I'm going to say the top seven. I mean, certainly the Pelicans got better and the Mavs adding Nerlens Noel. Maybe they do, but those teams fighting for the eighth seed, they're not really a consideration for the Rockets because whoever makes it, they're still going to get just rolled by the Warriors in round one, so it's kind of irrelevant for the purposes of the Rockets. For the Rockets, it's everybody in that 2 through 7 tier, and the only one besides the Rockets that got better was the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I do think adding Doug McDermott and Taj Gibson, that's a pro for them. A front line with Taj Gibson and Steven Adams with Enes Kanter going off the bench, that's a big, bruising, physical front line. It is a little bit scary. That's another reason why I said going into this week that I'd rather the Rockets play Memphis and Oklahoma City. I feel even stronger about that after the deal that Oklahoma City made today. But really, Oklahoma City is one team, and even with those acquisitions, the Rockets are still the better team than them by a good margin. There are some matchups that maybe you're not that crazy about, but the Rockets are certainly the better team. The key takeaway for me is maybe Houston and Oklahoma City. I would say it's kind of a push. They both got better at the trade deadline. But besides Oklahoma City, the Rockets made headway this week over every other team they are competing with. The Spurs, the Clippers, the Jazz, the Grizzlies. And then when you look at the buyout market, the Rockets have $3.5 million, and none of those teams have anything that I am aware of. So the Rockets are better positioned to continue growing in the days ahead. So I think we already kind of considered this deadline a success going into the day because Lou Williams fits a need for the Rockets. But beyond that, I think it's a really big success for Daryl Morey because he got better relative to his peers. And now the deadline is gone, I think we can say that pretty confidently. Yes, there are buyouts, and in theory, any buyout candidate could go anywhere. But with those teams not having any more money than the Rockets and the Rockets having the advantage of both money and roster spots, I don't see a scenario where they can gain on the Rockets. If anything, the Rockets are going to further gain on their competition. And this gets back into what we have been saying for weeks, which is that the Rockets were in perfect position and they have done exactly that and are going to continue to do it to take advantage of a weak buyer's market. With the bar so high with the likes of the Warriors and Cavaliers, not many teams were willing to invest in the future. But with anything, there is such a thing as a market inefficiency. And in my opinion, Daryl Morey took advantage of that this week. That's part of how he was able to get Lou Williams at such a bargain rate. Now, the other part of the equation, of course, is that it sounds like Lou and his agent kind of did some behind-the-scenes pulling of strings to get him to Houston. And, of course, you're thankful for that. But even with that, I think it was still a deal for much less compensation than you would typically expect for someone like Lou Williams, a professional scorer on a multi-year, extremely friendly contract to get at the trade deadline. And it's because with the dynamics the way that is in the NBA, there were not that many teams willing to be buyers. Daryl Morey took advantage. He did it at the deadline, and now he's going to do it in the buyout market. So I think this is a really successful week for the Rockets. Now, the final point I want to get to in this podcast, I should have mentioned earlier, looking at the buyout candidates, but Andrew Bogut in particular. Now, I know a lot of folks are excited about him. We touched on him earlier. Yes, he would improve the rim protection issues of the Rockets a bit. And only 32 years old, he's still got a decent bit of athleticism. But my one caution with him, remember in July, the Rockets had a deal basically agreed to with Golden State. Golden State had to move Bogut to create the salary cap room to sign Kevin Durant. And Bogut chose Dallas instead of Houston. Essentially, the Warriors went to him with proposals from the Mavs and the Rockets, and he chose the Mavs, and he commented on it during the year and said, basically, that he was skeptical of himself as a fit in Mike D'Antoni's system. Well, guys, Mike D'Antoni is still the coach. The Rockets still play very up-tempo, and it's very possible that Andrew Bogut still does not see himself as a fit in this system. Now, winning cures a lot of ills. Maybe the Rockets suddenly being 40-18, the 3 seed in the Western Conference, maybe all of that has changed. But for a veteran like Bogut, he's already got a lot of money in the bank. I would not necessarily assume that because the Rockets have a little more cap room that it's going to be easy. He had reservations about Houston in the past, and his stated reasons, Mike D'Antoni, well, he's still in place. The system is still there. Now, yes, it's possible that maybe Bogut was giving a diplomatic answer and he just didn't really like the culture in Houston. You have to hope that. But all I'm saying is don't put the cart before the horse. There are reasons that Bogut did not pick Houston in the past, and at least by what he's told us, those reasons are still very much in place. So don't assume this is going to get done. But the key thing, as I said earlier, it's not just Andrew Bogut. There are going to be a lot of names come out that in this buyout market that are viable contributors for this basketball team. And if you just stay tuned, give it a few days. By next Wednesday, March 1st, that's the deadline for guys to be bought out and then be playoff eligible with a new team. Then I think you're going to be very happy with what the results are. Just don't put necessarily all of your hopes and dreams in one particular player, because anybody's got their own circumstances. And the key to remember, even though the Rockets do have money, all these guys are coming off existing contracts, so money may not be the most important thing in the world. It helps, and generally I'd much rather have $3.5 million than none, but I would be hopeful, but not assuming it's done with any one player. Just stay tuned in the days ahead, and we'll have a lot more news by the weekend, I would suspect. Anyway, with all that said, I will wrap up this brief post-deadline episode of Locked on Rockets. Again, thanks to our sponsors at SeatGeek for bringing you today's show. If you download that SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LORockets, you can get a $20 rebate today on your first purchase from SeatGeek. And well, with the deadline over, we're back to actual basketball. The Rockets just a few hours away from taking on the Pelicans with Boogie Cousins in New Orleans. The status of Lou Williams is still up in the air, but if he's not there tonight, he certainly will be there Saturday when the Rockets take on Minnesota, and he'll be there for the remainder of the season, and certainly he should fit in very well on a Rockets team that, well, is very happy to take all the shooters they can possibly find. Anyway, hope you guys enjoy the games. Again, I'm Ben DuBose, your host. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben DuBose. This is Locked on Rockets, your only daily podcast covering the Houston Rockets. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked on Rockets. You can also email us at lockedonrockets@gmail.com. If you've got questions for me about the team, suggestions for the show, or if you would like to inquire about becoming a potential sponsor of this program, just as SeatGeek was today. Also, don't forget that you can subscribe to us, rate us, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom. You can find any of our 140-some-odd episodes, lots of interviews, lots of content. We want to be there for you on a daily basis, and we've had a lot of shows this week. Hope you guys have enjoyed them, and well, starting tonight, we'll be back into game mode as the Rockets take on the Pelicans and begin the home stretch of the season, 24 more games, and, well, hopefully a long playoff run with at least a couple of rounds, and hopefully even longer than that. So in the meantime, enjoy the rest of your afternoon, and we'll be talking again throughout the Pelicans game as the Rockets get back to basketball tonight. We'll see about Lou Williams, but certainly in the next few days, the Rockets are going to get Lou and probably a few more new players as well. So there's going to be a lot to look forward to in the days ahead.